Okay, first of all, before you start the timer, Steve, I have to make a quick correction on the title. There's a very important verb that was left out of the program, and also a punctuation mark there. This should be in the form of a question. Okay, how do I advance here?
So I take it you're reanalyzing the back.
PC. Yeah. Okay. So when two dissimilar images are presented simultaneously, one to each eye, we experience what's called binocular rivalry. Now, in the lab, we use a series of mirrors to present these stimuli, but it's possible to free fuse the stimuli by crossing your eyes slightly and try to line up these two central crosses there. If you're able to do this, you should notice that your perception switches every few seconds from seeing the green stripes to the red stripes and back to the green stripes. Now, why are we interested in rivalry? Well, rivalry allows us to isolate perceptual from sensory processes. Because the physical input to the eye does not change, but perception does change, we can simply ask subjects what they see, record their brain activity, and then look for correlations between brain activity and their conscious perception. Of course, this has been done before with fMRI, and results have shown correlations between bold signals in V1 and perception. However, single unit studies in non-human primates have consistently shown there's no correlation between spiking activity in V1 and perception. So in an attempt to resolve this discrepancy, we decided to measure event-related potentials during rivalry. We know from previous work that the earliest component of the visual evoked response, the C1, is most likely generated in primary visual cortex. We also know that the amplitude of the C1 component increases as the spatial frequency of the stimulus is increased. So from this, we reason that if we were to rival a high versus a low spatial frequency stimulus, we could then use the C1 component to test for correlations between V1 activity and conscious perception. So our strategy was to first find two stimuli that, when presented alone, led to substantial differences in C1 amplitude, and then to rival these same two stimuli and test whether C1 differed based only on perception. So our first task in this non-rivalry condition, a green high spatial frequency and a red low spatial frequency stimulus were presented to one eye at a time while input to the other eye was kept blank. Subjects were simply asked after each flash whether they perceived red or green. In the rivalry condition, same two stimuli were presented, but simultaneously, and subjects again just reported whether they perceived the red or the green. So what we found, first of all, in the non-rivalry condition was a much larger C1 for the high spatial frequency stimulus. There was almost no C1 produced by the low frequency stimulus. However, during rivalry, we found essentially no C1 difference between perceiving the high versus low frequency. Another way to think about this is that when subjects were perceiving the low frequency stimulus, indicated by this red ERP here, they were perceptually blind to the high spatial frequency stimulus. However, a C1 was still produced, indicating that activity in V1 is more correlated to sensory input than conscious perception. So we plot the difference waves and the scalp topographies of the difference waves during the C1 interval. See a nice central scalp distribution, central occipital, typical of a C1 in the non-rivalry condition, but there was no focal distribution in the rivalry condition. And this small little bump here in the difference wave was not significant across subjects. However, when we looked at a later time interval, there was a difference consistent across both conditions, and it seemed to have a similar topography to that C1 component, and this started about 130 milliseconds. So what we can say in conclusion is that rivalry is not resolved during the initial phase of the V1 response, but it may be resolved, or at least starts to be resolved, by about 130 milliseconds. And we're currently working on localizing the sources of this later phase effect. And so far, our results suggest a possible V1 generator, maybe indicating feedback. So to answer our original question, is binocular rivalry resolved in V1? We can say not during the initial phase, but but V1 may be involved during a later phase of activity. Thank you very much.